Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak your truth, speak your word, and we ask that you would speak to us. We would be taught by your Holy Spirit about your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we left off, and we are going back to it. We talked about all these gifts, and we're not going to read through all the whole chapter again where it talks about that the body is one and all these things. So please, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. This I think is just a really important verse. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. He did not have to say that second half of things. The church wants you to not be individually members of it. And some people don't realize that the kingdom is made up of individuals. It's not, okay, we're making this kingdom, or okay, we're making this church. It is individuals moved by the same Holy Spirit now have the fellowship of the Spirit. And it's brought together that way, not by mankind and his stupid organizations and his stupid thoughts on how to organize things. And let's make a kingdom here on earth. There are still a whole lot of people trying to do that one. You're individuals. You're individuals. And this individual with Christ in me makes up part of the body of Christ. Wow. And I am an individual. I talked today to Andy Warner. And I told him about the stuff on, didn't talk about all of it, but told him we were studying the Holy Spirit, you know, and everything, and how the shock to some of us is that, wait a second, it's God. Hey, stupid, it's God. This is God. He started laughing. He said, you have no idea how great that is. I was sitting in church a few weeks ago, and he said, I will admit to you, I was completely zoned out. I have no idea what the pastor, and you could tell his voice was, I don't know what he was saying. Anyway, I hope this doesn't get back to his pastor. But he said, I wasn't listening one bit. And he said, I started, and all of a sudden, though, the guy said something about the Holy Spirit, and I perked up to see what he had to say. Well, he didn't have anything to say, but the Lord did. And, you know, Andy kind of went back down again, and he said, God, that's what I want, is I want to be closer to you. I want to really be really close to you. And the Lord said, Son, he spoke to him. He said, Son, I am. The Holy Spirit is me. This is me talking. Anyway, Andy was bouncing off the walls, you know, laughing at what we were doing here. And then it went on, the conversation went on, and he was telling me about a few rebukes that he had given, at least one, to a guy, and it sounded a whole lot like someone else that we know. Andy, I mean, he slam dunked this guy hard and exactly as he needed to be. Andy's a mercy. He is. He's just, and he whacked this guy. He told him that the guy, a chemical engineer. Now, you bleed brains to know that kind of thing. His wife has left him, took the kids. It goes on and on and on. He is just evidently quite the jerk. And he's addicted to video games. He comes home and he gets into video games. Doesn't talk to his children, doesn't talk to them. And if they mess with him while he's in his video games, he gets very angry. The other day, decided to shove his wife, and she said, that's it. Andy told him, you're not a junior high kid anymore. You're a grown-up man, and you're making grown-up man mistakes, and it's time for you to become responsible. The guy got mad at him and didn't call him for weeks. Go, Andy. Anyway, I thought that was pretty good. A guy did call back and said, I was really mad at you. And why? Because of what you said. Andy, this is great. Guy didn't want the truth. We're past time. We are past time. I say it again. We are way, way, way past time of let's tickle one another's ears. And let's try to be, let's make nice at one another. Let's do agape. How about that? And agape is going to be in the face of those that are lying. We are individuals. Verse 28. And God has appointed in the ecclesia first apostles. Now, you might be able to take that. You might be able to say, oh, apostles, that means that they are the head of all things and whatever. And it could be that he's talking about the 12 apostles. Of course, we not only have the 12 apostles, but we also have the 13 apostles because we know that Paul called himself an apostle. And we have some people that would go, that was during the apostolic age. We don't have apostles anymore, except the Greek word simply means sent one. Sent one. An apostle, and so we're going to talk a little bit about this particular office. Perhaps in this case, this was the ruling and reigning group, and it was certainly in Jerusalem, at least for a while. But these people are church planters. That's what an apostle is, if you want to put it that way. That's what Paul did. That's what the Word says that they do. And that's what they were supposed to do. You are going to be my witnesses first in Jerusalem. And by the way, quit sitting in Jerusalem. If you don't, I'm going to send Titus. They sat. And Titus came in and the church went all over the place. They went into Judea, into Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth, accompanied by Jesus Christ. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Either way, apostles were church planters. They are sent ones. Nothing about apostles. There are apostles today. There are. And we have a different word for them usually. It's called missionary. Missionary. We call them a missionary. But the Bible said, no, the sent ones are apostles. That's actually pretty simple. Second prophets. A prophet, somebody that speaks forth God's truth, usually, I will admit, in a rather straightforward way. People often accuse me of saying that, you know, but you know, you apostles, you don't get it. You know, you see things in black and white. Hello? I rest my case. I don't have to say anything. That's so stupid. I had someone at a church one time that said, oh, I appreciate you. Your faith is so simple. You just don't get these complex problems. That's a way of saying, I need you to compromise with me. It really is. There's nothing complex about yes and no. That's not that difficult. Computers run on that, 1010. What is it? They're just trying. It's that easy. It's logically make your choice. Where are you going? And God has given us laws that don't require a whole lot of interpretation, and it really is true. We don't have to be scratching around to find what He meant by these things. Our prophets, rather, are. Heard one person say a little bit of them goes a long way, and that probably is true. But they are those that, as we will see further in the book of Acts, Mrs. Davis brought up Agabus the other day, I believe, who, again, doing these weird things. You know, you look back in the prophets and they go, what in the world were they up to? Why did they do that? And here's this guy in New Testament times tying his. You know, and Paul, you know, the one who, why didn't you just say, Paul, you're going to go to Jerusalem, it's going to be not a good thing. No, they've got to act it all out and get all strange. And so that's what he did, and that is typical of a prophet. Sometimes being told the future, sometimes. It depends on if God can use it, if the kingdom can use it, if the individuals of the church need it, but it is not very often, because one of the problems when you know the future is you get focused on the future and trying to make it happen or not happen, or you're in a panic about it somewhere, not a good thing. So prophets may be used in that way. I'm afraid we tend to think that that's what they do, and it simply is not by any means all that they do. And I would think looking to the future is actually fairly rare. If it were not, we would have a whole lot more books in the Bible, I think, because of the prophets that have lived. And they also are not all actively involved in writing a new book for the Bible. Anyway, that's prophets. Any questions on these two so far? Ms. Davis, anything on this? All right. First prophet, or first apostle, second prophets, third teachers. A teacher is again self-explanatory. They teach. They teach the word. They have a tendency to tear apart every little tiny word, and they want to know all about it because they want to be accurate. There is an excitement over the truth. There is, wait a second, it's got to be this way. And if the truth comes along and changes all of their beliefs, then that's the way that it is. The truth is something that is simply upheld. The bad news for IMI is that you have two people that are prophets and teachers, and it's serious issues for those that are in front of that. With truth, 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 truth. Who cares who it killed? That's the way it goes. It's truth. Should have got out of the road. Then miracles. Miracles. Wait a second. Look what are we going to do with that? That's like fourth in line. What are we going to... Oh, no, it's panic time. Miracles. This is a gift. Again, we talked about this before. Someone that is used in that. To do extraordinary things. Again, what's the purpose? Exhortation, the building up of the body. Don't ever keep it. Don't ever lose it. It's not for show and display. We see these every once in a while, and probably should be seeing more of them. Then, again, right up against it, gifts of healings. Right there, okay? Gifts of healings. Helps. Now, what's that? How's King James put it? What does it call it? Helps. Helps, okay. Help, help. Help, help, help. Help, the helper is, I think, the way that most people would look at it is the person that is service motivated, a servant. You run into these people that, I mean, what can I do next? They have the eyes of a servant. Probably have a number right now, but Gabe was certainly someone that was that way. There, somebody that really has it bad, like Gabe, has a lot of extra energy. Gabe, wow, hey, yeah, there it is. Sometimes you have to calm them down and jerk their chain. And sit down, Gabe. Is this enough now? Okay, fine, go on. Thank you, sir. And he's gone. But they are helping, helping, helping. I told you about the one man that was the 3M inventor for 3M. He was a servant. And he was going to come and fix that electricity, and that was the way it was going to be. Different ones just, you know, they literally just, oh, what can I do to help? I mean, and they're into it. Sometimes one of the problems is, we'll go into this more when we go into Romans 12, they don't ask, and it can cause some problems because they're fixing something that didn't necessarily need fixed. But anyway, somebody that is a servant, I think we would agree, is somebody that would be useful to have around. They want to help, and they really do. And they're actually... Looking over this sea of faces here, there are a number that fit into that category. More than willing to. What can I do? What can I do to help? And of course, one of the things with these is they become a little bit blurred as the person matures in Christ. As you mature in Christ, there may be a, say you're used in service. All the other things, and we're going to talk about this more when we look in Romans 12, that they start to get blurred because you are to be growing up into what? All aspects. And Jesus had all of these things. And you as I know that as I grew in Christ, I would want to do more service, and I would just see things differently than I used to see them. Oh, wait, why didn't I help with that? What was wrong with me? Why didn't I do that? And now it's just you see it, well, you'd simply do it. And that is service, and you know at different times as you mature where to hold back and maybe let somebody else do it. But anyway, that's what helps is. Administrations. Again, this is something that is needed, and unfortunately in the church, it's dumped on the pastor usually. Really what is needed is somebody to help administrate things. I'm not the greatest administrator in the world, but it's something that the Lord has had to pull me into to here to do that. And having to learn things about law and real estate and the IRS and all sorts of other things that you have to deal with. Guess what? That is needed in the church because they need people that are, again, an administrator, someone that is ruling over. There are some people that even say there are elders that are ruling elders and there are teaching elders. I've not found that necessarily in Scripture. But they like to say that. And I understand where they're coming from because I've certainly seen elders that were much better at administrating than they were at teaching and vice versa. So anyway, but elders I would think would have to have this gift of administration. They're really good at putting things together and making it orderly, making it all begin to click and thinking away along those lines. Moving on, various kinds of tongues, we've talked about that. And then he gives us these rhetorical questions. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Now, here, what did he say? There are greater gifts. Now, if the greater gifts, let's say that the greater is the first ones, where first apostles, should we be desiring to be an apostle? Well, of course, people that believe in dispensationalism don't think there's apostles around anymore. But if we interpret that to be a missionary, maybe you should be thinking about God. You know, God is wanting you to go. Does he want you to go to missions? We at one time questioned it strongly whether God had, we were willing to go. And it was funny because I remember we went and talked. We were in this missions course, went and talked to this missionary. And so we're thinking that God maybe is calling us. And he asked a few questions and he smiled and he said, no, listen. He said, that's not what, and we knew before, we had always thought, well, we're called to the church in the United States. And but as we heard the needs out there and we thought we're willing, you know, we'll go if we need to. And the more he talked to us, he said, I don't think it's what you're supposed to do. You know, you listen, you support as you need to, but go and do what God has called you to do here in this country. So we were not called to go be missionaries, at least out of this country. I guess you could say we were sent to the outer limits of Burnet as missionaries to rattlesnakes, and et cetera. But the greater gifts, he says, to desire them. We know that one of the greater gifts is prophecy over tongues. Okay? And he is telling us greater. But remember, what's the purpose of the gift? Exhortation of the body. It's not to lord it over. It's not to be in leadership. It's not to be, well, ain't I cool? Look at the gift that I've got. Oh, wow, and everybody's looking at me. Stop it. Stop it. Unfortunately, this is exactly what it has become. Any questions, anything we've talked about so far this evening? Sir?
Was everyone subject to a specific office that's listed?
No.
Or so they can be, but they don't have to at least fall under one.
Well, that's what a lot of people would think, Where is the... look in verse chapter 14. Look in verse 16. We see the key to this right here. 14, 16. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the what? Ungifted. It is not that everybody is going to be, oh, here, this is, now, if we, when we're looking over in Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at what people call, and this is going to be later on, the motivational gifts. Has become wildly popular. Unfortunately, it mostly has become wildly popular because people want to talk about themselves. Oh, look who I am. Look what my gift is. What's your gift? Oh, you do this. Oh. And I don't have a problem believing that the body of Christ could fit in those 12 gifts. Why? Because it's simply telling about how people function. Okay. And honestly, you see people that would fit in those gifts that are not believers. And you come into the body of Christ often with that particular gift. I'm already serving here. And so it's easy enough. You do it now in the Spirit. So it's not that everybody has, especially like the gifts that we were just talking about. No. Remember, it's as the body needs it. And if you look as we go along, chapter 14, verse 26. Now what is Paul saying? What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a... Now, does somebody have the gift of Psalms? You see, what's going on is, no, we are listening and walking with the Holy Spirit. Does he have a song, a psalm, that he wants you to share? That's not listed under those nine gifts. It's not listed under the 12 in chapter 12 of Romans. Is it 12 of those gifts? I can't remember how many there's there. Could be saying it wrong. Okay? We're people. And those that are in the place of the quote-unquote gifted are the ones that are supposed to be the servants of all. Not lording it over. Not, look how great I am. Hey, I'm your leader. All of that stuff. Not supposed to be. So, you may, but let the Holy Spirit do it. And you may have some gift. Oh, I wasn't chosen. Sure you were. You were chosen somewhere else. You're chosen to do something else. Just because you don't have one of those nine absolutely means nothing. Means nothing. In fact, it means that you have less of a problem and a pain. You hear some teachers, some people touting this patriarchal type thing of the man is the head of his house. He is the king of the castle. I mean, he's the, you have lost it. The bad news is that the man has been made the head of the woman. It is the head that has to think about protecting. It is the head that is the one that is supposed to be responsible. Scripture says it over and over again. The man has been placed in a position of responsibility. Please hear me. It is not that the man has more talent. It's that he has simply been given more responsibility. Because often, the man doesn't have more talent. That's not what it's about. Equal heirs. Same Holy Spirit. The same amount of filling. The only reason that I stand up here and talk is because I'm loud and obnoxious. The person that would do better at talking is Mrs. David. The being chosen to do something is chosen for responsibility, and that is not necessarily good news. It's just not. So did that answer your question? Yes?
You mentioned you could choose to have a gift before you become a part of God's body?
We have it. It's not via the Holy Spirit, but you've got leanings in those directions. You see people that's what they lean toward. An administrator. Well, what do you do for a living? I'm an administrator at such a... Well, guess what? Although it doesn't necessarily mean that their talent is going that way. One of the best church counselors that I've known had his degree in architecture. Comes into the church and becomes the church counselor with his degree in architecture. Let me build a new house for you. They have leanings in that direction. It now becomes stronger with the Holy Spirit in it.
We're made in God's image, and so when we become under His rule and reign in our life, His Spirit controls the life He's already put there.
It could be. He may not use you there, but it could be that that's where you... Is that what you're asking?
More asking, it seems like His life is already there. It's just whether or not we receive it, and then it's under His control, it would be manifested in a powerful way, and for His kingship. Is that right?
I would agree with that, They're predestined. Are they going to receive their predestination in many ways? This is again one of the problems with, I think, the Calvinism. They believe in predestination, but the assumption is that because they're predestined, that God is going to overpower them with His irresistible grace and make them line up with what they've been predestined to do. No, you're predestined, but you may not get in that predestination. You may stay a slave to sin your entire life. Anyone else? Okay, we read through chapter 13, and I would say let's skip on down to chapter 14. We've gone through this and pretty well picked it apart, I think, in many ways, talking about edification, revelation, prophecy, the trumpet. I'm just going down through these things. The meaning of the language of the barbarian, praying in a tongue, etc. We're going on, the tongues are for signs. And what is the outcome then, brethren? That's just where I want to go to, is verse 26 of chapter 14. If you would skip there, because we have gone through these before. What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. I find this, again, this is interesting. And he's talking about when we assemble, however many people are there, whatever, we don't know. But psalm, that's not listed as one of these gifts. All of a sudden, we have something else that's working differently. Has a teaching. Has a revelation. Wait a second. Revelation was not one listed as a, here's a gift. This person is not somebody that is walking as necessarily the quote-unquote gifted. Oh, they have this gift. No, they simply got a revelation. Perhaps we could use that as the word insight. I was meditating in God's Word today, and look what He showed me. So something was revealed. A revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And that's what it gets down to every time. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in tongues, it should be by two or three at the most, each in turn, let one interpret. No interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. It's someone in tongues, and they need to, I'm telling you, get in these churches, and they'll just, they know there's not an interpreter around, but they want you to know that they speak in tongues. But, well, I'm not up in front. I'm not shouting it out. I've been beside them where you could not think. They were making so much noise. You could not hear what was going on. This is out of order. Okay? And someone in the church in authority should have said, stop that. If I were with it again, whether I was in their church or not, I would say, you are out of order. You need to be quiet. I'm an old cantankerous guy now. He should be kept silent in the church if there is no interpreter. Here's the rule. If there is no interpreter, and again, that's foreknowledge. You know, hey, is there an interpreter here? You know that. Or you don't know it. You know it. It says you know it. If there's an interpreter, let him keep, and that's the second time it said it. It says it earlier, if there's not an interpreter. Let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. That doesn't mean blurting out stuff all over the place and irritating the person that's close to you. And let two or three prophets speak. Let the others pass judgment. Now, does this sound like a normal Sunday worship service? What do they do with this? Why is this not a normal Sunday worship service? Shouldn't this be? If we are saying, okay, because we have no place that I know of that it says, here's what a normal Sunday worship service is supposed to look like. Well, yes, we do, right here. When you assemble, this is what it's supposed to look like. No. It's the big cheese. Miss Davis? You just look like you're, you know, you're just listening. You don't have anything to say. Okay. Let the others pass judgment. If a revelation is made to another who is seated, let him first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn. And again, all may be exhorted. Spirits of prophets, subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And then we fuss about the women for a minute. Verse 37, a woman thinks himself a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize the things which are right to you are the Lord's commandment. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. But let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Again, what is the purpose of dispensationalism? Unbelief. Because why? Here's a verse that says, do not forbid to speak in tongues. You have to do something with it. And now, I find it fascinating that they have to make sure they get rid of this. In the church age, that was back in the apostolic age. Then why in the world did he write it? He was going to be dead pretty soon, and every other person that would be doing such hideous things was going to be dead very soon. Why write these things in the Holy Writ, as they put it? Why? What would be the purpose? There would not be a purpose. It's just the falsehood of saying that these things were at a different time and all that stuff. Because why? They've got a scripture that they have to tell you from the pulpit, don't believe that. They literally have to tell you. So that verse right there that Paul is writing via the Holy Spirit means nothing to the church. Can we throw out 1 Corinthians 13 too? Well, yeah. It goes on and on. The falsehood is so sad. Ms. Davis, you have anything? Anyone have anything to bring up? I want to bring up here. Yes.
When he says in verse 29, and let there be two or three prophets, and let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment, does that relate to when Peter says, for it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God?
I don't know. I've often wondered about what that is. I think that this would be probably in terms of if a prophet brings something up that the Lord is saying, here's the direction or here's something that's supposed to be happening. He now has to be subject to other prophets. And I can tell you, now what would that mean? What are they looking for? Agreement. Unity. Two or three witnesses. Yes, this is what the Lord is saying. And so that's what's going on. We're not just going to take the word of one. It has to be that the others with this gift are, and it says, they will be subject to the other prophets. So you don't want to be too tacky to Prophet A, because next week you may have the thing to say, and Prophet A's going, I remember what you did to my words, and I'm going to come after you. They're subject to one another. And I think that what they're doing is looking for unity. I know with Mrs. Davis and I, we will find that God is speaking to us about very similar things so often. And when we do, to me, it's like, especially with direction here, a meeting, what are we supposed to do today? How's this going to go? Just small things that sound like, oh, why are you even thinking about that? We want to know. In the evenings, are we supposed to have a meeting this evening? Are we supposed to do this? Wait a second, what did the Lord say? And we're listening all the time. What do you want, God, Father? And we almost always will have an agreement on things. When we don't, then we start, wait a second, are we supposed to actually do that? And we want agreement among ourselves. Well, there's two prophets. And in many ways, we are subject to one another. Listening to one another. And it's because, certainly part of it is because of our dedication in marriage to one another, but it is also our function, and I think this even probably overrides the other in some ways, our function and our desire to serve our Lord in His body. Don't get me wrong, we're the most important person in the world is my beloved, but she and I know we have a direction that we have to go with the Lord. And we're listening. What do you want from us? And when we both hear the same thing, we're going, all right, the two or more, just, and the prophet is subject to the prophet, one another. Okay? And I think that what it's talking about is simply unity of direction, unity of what a message may be from particular prophets. And what are you saying? Wait a second, that's off. Why? You know, and let's tweak this over here. Oh, now it works. I couldn't see that. And that's the way things work, I know, with us. Works even here at IMI as we're talking about different things. Oh, no, wait, what about this? And somebody will add some new word into it. We're listening. Wait a second. Does that fit? And then somebody else brings, and it does. And suddenly you understand what the Lord's trying to say. Ms. Davis? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I was just realizing how much dispensationalism is lawless.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the main points.
Yeah. Just, we cast out truth because it hurts too much to, when God applies His law to our hearts, it hurts, you know, it's suffering, and that's just part of life. But I was listening to Tim Shekels in the shirt the other day, and just realizing whether it was then or whether it was now, it's the same thing. Paris Street had said that the Levite wanted his 10 shekels in the shirt, and Micah wanted his chapel, and so they made an agreement, and they sold God out, and we do the same thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
God gets sold out for money. For power. And it's been going that way forever. This is why and it really is. This is one of the reasons why I do not in any way feel embarrassed about serving in some little tiny school. And if we're serving just one or two people, that's because God's way has never been with the big deal. It never has been. We do not know. Mrs. Davis and I do not know. We do not know what God may be doing in every one of you. You all may get martyred before this is all over with in this place. Who knows how God may use you. It's not through the big deals. It's the small things that God does stuff. think of the Moravians. Well, a lot of people know about the Moravians, but a lot of people don't know about the Moravians, and they're not around anymore so much. But it was a small group headed up by one guy, and yet they said, we believe this, and we're going to go out and we're going to teach God's ways, and we're going to tell people about the truth, and we're going to bring people into the kingdom. Whoa! That's different. And they were tiny, tiny, tiny compared to the church. Mother Kirk, you know, spreading herself all over the entire earth. They were small, but they made huge impacts and they brought people to the kingdom.